what's fun about going through 2 Samuel, and then we're going to do like, I think, 4 chapters of Kings to get into Solomon's life. But then we're going to spend the month of August in the first 90 Psalms, and the month of September in the rest of the Psalms. So it'll be like a psalm-a-rama. So if you have never developed a relationship with God through the Psalms, in fact, I was thinking while we were singing, if I were going to title the Psalms, it would be the whole thing, the whole book, it would be Take My Heart Away. Because that's basically what the story of the Psalms is all about, whether it's David or Korah or Moses or whoever it might be in their Psalms. It's just their story about having their hearts captured by God. And so the Psalms are like a tool for that. I've got, you know, maybe 20 or 25 psalms that are most familiar to me. So that'll give you kind of a chance if you've never done that before. It's been a good review for me. I already done all my studying work because I'd picked out a verse that I liked from every psalm, one or two. So I was able to go through and kind of go, why do I like this psalm? So those posts that he was talking about, we've converted those over to where they come every day. So instead of having to look at a weekly post, now they come each day. So there you go. As far as our distinctives and the things that we are focusing on, you know, we have our core of who we are. This is kind of like the heart of who we are, enjoying the beauty and the power of God's story, because it's not only a beautiful story, it's also very powerful. Rediscovering that. I think about that when we're singing, and I look at my grandsons and my granddaughter, and when I look at people around me singing, I think, you know, I just hope that the power of God's word touches their hearts like it's touched my heart. There's also engaging freedom conversations, you know, because that's what we want to do. You know, we want to be open and listening to God so that when we get a chance to have those freedom conversations with our neighbors, people who don't know God, people who are drawing close to God, whatever it might be, we can engage in those. So we're really committed to that, have been for a long time, lo these many 40 years. And also choosing to live intentionally and to be the church. It's one of the things I love about being friends with you guys, is that we don't just talk about church, we are the church together, and that's just a cool thing. Today, we're going to talk a little bit and reflect on working hard for the harvest, because we're talking about the parable of the sower. And that's also something that is a part of the Fox Creek authentic DNA, is that you know, we're not just living our lives in a bubble. We're living our lives in the context of the kingdom of heaven. We're also interested in unlocking and sharing our own strong homes, and then all together living to hear the words, well done. And I am convinced that, you know, if I get to hear God say to any one of you, well done, and if I got to share in that process with you, I think it's going to be a very wonderful, wonderful thing. And I think we're going to hear that together, not just individually. So that's kind of who we are. And so we try to relate some of the passages we're looking at. The sower is interesting. And you are probably familiar with it because you've been around the block, especially if you've been here for 40 years. But it's in three different Gospels, the story of the sower. And it's very similar, although in Matthew 13, Jesus takes a little bit more time to explain the parable of the sower to the disciples in a little bit more depth. And that's where I want to look today, is over in Matthew 13. And I want to take a look at that idea and how it relates to the harvest, because obviously we're harvest workers according to the scriptures. In fact, we're supposed to pray to the Lord of the harvest for harvest workers, because the harvest is plentiful and the workers are few. It's not like there's a lack of seeds that have been sown in the world. They're there because the sower went out to sow. The issue is the cultivating, and it's the participation of the harvest workers, like it talks about in one of the Gospels. So let's just take a look at the passage, and I'd like you to think about this. This is the broadest of all of the kingdom parables. This is why Jesus often starts with this, and then he adds parables onto it. So the sower goes out to sow, and then he adds the lost coin and the talents and whatever. But it starts out with the sower, because the sower is the broadest picture in the parables. And you know why God speaks in parables. It's so that, you know, people can get it. Anybody can get it that is willing to think and willing to investigate. So that's what we're looking at here, chapter 13. That day, Jesus went out of the house and was sitting by the sea. And just what a life this guy lived for these several years, huh? And large crowds gathered to him. So he was just, he came out of the house, he was sitting by the sea, and all of a sudden the crowds just kind of, they didn't fit in the house. So he was being followed around by people all around the Sea of Galilee. Large crowds gathered to him so that he got into a boat and he sat down, and the whole crowd was standing on the beach. And he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, "Behold, the sower went out to sow." The introductory parable to the kingdom parables. And as he sowed, some seeds fell up beside the road, but the birds came and they ate them up. And some of the seeds fell on rocky places where they didn't have much soil, and immediately they sprang up because they had no depth of soil. Verse 6, but when the sun had risen, they were scorched because they didn't have any roots, so they withered away and they couldn't sustain themselves in the heat of the sun. Verse 7, others fell among the thorns, and the thorns came up and choked them out. And others fell on the good soil and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. Now, I can be assured that you, if you're sitting here, you at least have a kingdom interest, right? I mean, why would you be sitting here unless there was some, you know, reason that forced you to be sitting here? You know, that was family related or whatever. Please come with me. And I can be assured of the fact that the kingdom seeds have been planted. Does God plant kingdom seeds everywhere? Yeah. Are there kingdom seeds in Iran right now that have been sown? Yeah. Yeah. In India? Are there in India? Yeah. Because, you know, it's not an American gospel. You know, the gospel wasn't birthed in America. it was birthed among the Jews. And then it went to the Gentiles, who spoke many different languages, every nation under heaven. So he says, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. So when it comes to the kingdom seeds being sown out into the world, I can be pretty sure that there's a good chance that you're a producing seed. Because I've known a lot of you for a long time. And so you're producing some kind of a crop. Now, those of you who are younger, I just don't know. You know, I don't know when it comes to the teenagers in our group at all. I don't know, because time will tell where the seed has fallen in your life. And I can be sure of the fact that God is producing a crop whenever the seed has taken root on the good soil. So that leads to a big question. You know, what kind of soil are we talking about here for you? I can look at the soil of my heart and I can think, well, it may not be the great dirt of Iowa as far as spiritual dirt, but I'm at least maybe in Georgia clay or something, you know? I'm at least able to sustain things. I'm not on the rocky road. You know, I've not been scorched out by the sun yet, so I can be pretty sure that I'm producing fruit and that the seed is growing. Now, I don't know if I'm producing 100-fold or 50 or 10. I don't know. And really, ultimately, I don't care. I'm just glad to be a part of the kingdom and that the seed has been sown and that I'm not apparently rocky soil. And I apparently have not been choked out. Now, I've felt different ways about that over the years. You know, and now here I am in, you know, entering into the ripe old age of 67 here pretty soon. And now I'm pretty sure, I think I'm like 95% sure that the seed, that the kingdom seeds are growing inside of me. So when I look at you, I can be sure that there's a good chance that that's what's happening in you. But that doesn't mean that, especially for those of you who are younger or those of you who might be at a struggling point in your life, things do get choked out. Spiritual life does get choked out of people. Certainly you've heard people's stories about this, when they've been let down by God, when they feel like, why is this happening to me? Then it gets choked out of people. Or just by virtue of the fact of the nature of life, the sun beats down. I look at this when I think about life and the incessant evil that is in the world, and it's choking and choking and shining down, and I can see why some people just burn out, especially if they're just counting on religion rather than relationship with God, and the sun just dries them up, you know, just kind of turns them into dust in the wind. So that's the context. So really this applies to everybody. And you can be sure that this applies to anybody you talk to, that God has been sowing the seeds of the kingdom into the world. And anybody that you're talking about is in some part of this process, whether that seed has just been sown, whether it's been planted for a long time, or whatever. The disciples came to him and said, "Why do you speak to them in parables?" Like they were a different group of people or something, I don't know. Jesus answered them, "To you it has been granted to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven, but to them it has not been granted." What is the mystery of the kingdom of heaven? Well, it's Jesus. And they were chosen to be with Jesus, and so they were understanding the mysteries of the kingdom progressively as it unfolded in their lives. "For whoever has, to him more shall be given, and he will have an abundance." So wherever that seed takes root, there's going to be growth and there's going to be fruit. "But whoever does not have, even what he has shall be taken away from him. Therefore I speak to them in parables, because while seeing they do not see, and while hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand." And so he goes back to Isaiah the prophet. And he says it's being fulfilled. You're going to keep on hearing, but you will not understand. You'll keep on seeing, but you will not perceive. "For the heart of this people has become dull. With their ears they scarcely hear. They have closed their eyes. Otherwise they would see with their eyes, hear with their ears, and understand with their heart and return, and I would heal them." And that's what a kingdom life looks like when it takes root. People's ears open up, their eyes open up, and they're able to receive what God has for them. So, verse 16. And I would say this, I think, to everybody sitting in this room, as far as I know, "But blessed are your eyes because they see, and blessed are your ears because they hear. For truly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see and did not see it, and to hear what you hear and did not hear it." And so, having the advantage of being the disciples, they often were given insight, right, into what was going on, because he would teach in parables to the crowds. They would ask him questions, or he would volunteer the information. "Hear then the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed is sown beside the road." So that says understanding it's kind of important, isn't it? You know, in fact, if you really drill down on this theologically, that's a work of God. It's a work of God to sow, but it's also a work of God to open the eyes of the blind, right? "The evil one comes and snatches it away, what has been sown in his heart. This is the one on whom seed has been sown beside the road. The one on whom seed," verse 20, "was sown in the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." Have you ever seen this before? I've seen it. I saw it when I became a believer. There were people that came in. I was talking about this with another group of people that were from a different generation the other day. And you see this. And different generations respond in different ways. Different groups of people respond in different ways. "The one on whom the seed was sown on the rocky places, this is the man who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy." This is why it's really cool when you see a lot of energy, a lot of commitment, a lot of excitement about God. But it's not everything. It's not everything. Because you can have this and not be in the kingdom. He immediately receives it with joy, but he has no firm root in himself. Now think about the life of faith. That's what the life of faith is all about. It's about a firm root that God is building in each side of inside of each one of us. It's why at 60 plus years I can sit here and I can say, I can feel the roots. I can feel the roots into the innermost part of who I am. That hasn't happened over a quick period of time. Yet he has no firm root in himself, but is only temporary. But then when the tough times come, when affliction comes or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he falls away. And the one on whom seed was sown among the thorns, this is the man who hears the word, and the worry of the world and the deceitfulness of wealth choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. Now you're reading right now and you're going, my goodness, this is a scary, risky environment for seeds to go out. And wouldn't it be neat if all of the seeds were going to grow and produce fruit? Wouldn't that be awesome? I still somewhere in my soul have this deep desire. I hope that at the end, God's going to go, okay, it's all over now. You're all coming in. But sadly, I don't think that's going to happen. That's my humanistic side. And the one on whom, verse 23, seed was sown on the good soil, which I'm assuming is us. And if you don't know for sure that it is you, then you might want to take that up with the sower and have a conversation with the sower about that, because you really should be convinced of this beyond just that first initial jumping around for joy, you know, that happens at the beginning for many people. And the one on whom seed was sown on the good soil, this is the man who hears the word and he understands it, who indeed bears fruit and brings forth some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. So that's the parable of the sower. And as you can see in this gospel, he immediately goes in and talks about the tare growing up with the weeds growing up with the wheat. Then he talks about the mustard seed, then the leaven, and then he explains the tares, and then he talks about the hidden treasure, the costly pearl, and a dragnet, and you can almost see God saying, if you don't get the parable of the sower, let me give you some other ones that might make sense to you from your background. You know, maybe you're a treasure seeker rather than a farmer. So, down in 13:52. So, this is after all those parables are then laid out. And we're only looking at the parable of the sower today. But this is the conclusion of the conversation. This is the conversation that started back with the parable of the sower after he had taught the parable and then gone aside with his disciples and explained it to them. Now he's finishing that conversation with the disciples and he's finishing it with us. Verse 51. Have you understood these things? Now remember the thing there in the parable, you know, some people understand it, some people don't understand it. Some people receive it, some people don't receive it. Have you understood? Have you embraced these things? And they were saying to him, yes, we understand it. And Jesus, he doesn't say good for you. You just assume that that's what he's saying because he goes on to explain what their lives are going to look like now that they have understood what's happening. Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household who brings out of his treasure things new and old. What does that mean? What does that mean? I'm interested in your thoughts. Verse 52, therefore every scribe, okay, so a scribe, those are the people who kept track of things, you know, and they made their copies. Bernie was talking about something in the law the other day that said when a king took over, one of their jobs, according to the law, was that they were supposed to copy Torah, you know, and make their own copy with their own hand. so that God could be sure that a king, and I don't think they all did it, was actually a scribe and was taking the words of God and was encountering them on a personal basis. I'd forgotten about that, but once again, my wife, it was Dennis Judd, and you took credit for it? And Jesus said to them, therefore, every scribe who has taken these things and become a disciple of the kingdom, become a follower of the kingdom. So the scribe hears the word, he takes the word, he translates the word, and he brings it over, and he becomes personally a disciple, or she becomes a disciple of the kingdom of heaven. And what happens? Then you become like the head of a household. Because when that happens, that mustard seed that was planted inside of you begins to grow. And as it begins to grow, it's bigger than all the plants in the field. So if you looked out at a field of crops, the mustard tree would be above it. Okay, just think about the farm pictures that we have. I mean, I can see it right now when I'm hunting or whatever. You can see the crops, and then above it, you'll see things, different kinds of plants and trees that are half tree, half plant. And so the seed begins to grow in the life of the scribe of the kingdom, and it begins to grow a mustard plant. And he brings out of his treasure things new and things old. Back in verse 31, he presented another parable to them, saying, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed, which a man took and he sowed in his field. And it's smaller than all the other seeds. But when it is full grown, it is larger than the garden plants, and it becomes a tree, so that the birds of the air come and they nest in its branches. And that's what a kingdom life looks like. You know, Bernie and I had this conversation last couple weeks about, well, who's the sower? You know, are we sowers? Is Jesus a sower? Is the Father the sower? So we had this great conversation. And the reality is that, you know, we have a tendency to think in terms of, well, we're sowers, you know. We've been given the gospel, so we take the good news. But I think that's eclipsing who we are. I think that we are watchers, and we are people who are able to provide shelter for other people. And so back to the kingdom seed, and back to you, and back to me. So the seed was planted. Whatever kind of soil I'm in is obviously able to sustain spiritual life. I haven't been choked out, you know, because of the sun or whatever, and I'm continuing to grow. And a mustard plant has started growing. That is the Dave and Bernadette mustard plant. I don't know, whatever you want to call it, but it started to grow. And it's been growing for a long time. And if I look at that tree, I can see birds of the air in that tree that have found shelter because the kingdom has grown into a mustard plant. Now, I'm not saying that to say, I'm just thinking about that from my perspective. You think about that from your perspective. Because you and I are the same kind of seed. You know, you were the same dinky little seed that I am, the smallest of all the seeds. It was planted. But because of the power of God, the kingdom began growing in my life just like it began growing in your life. And that's, to me, what the kingdom's all about. So, you know, I love evangelists, and I love evangelistic effort. I think it's cool. You know, I'm drawn to that. I'm drawn to praying for how the word is growing in different places. But before any evangelist ever shows up, the Son of Man is sowing seeds. He is sowing kingdom seeds. We're just reaping what has been sown. And so the sower, the mustard seed, the Son of Man is the sower, because he says that. I was opting for it being the Father, but apparently the Father just kind of like sits there and the Son does all the stuff, you know. And I don't think it's because the Father's lazy. I just think it's because of who they are, you know. The Son is the one who carries out the will of the Father with the power of the Spirit behind it. So the Son of Man is the sower. We are his kingdom seeds. Some grow, some choke out. Some provide kingdom shelter, some don't. Some are a good plant, and some are less fruitful. And I think you can evaluate that based on shelter. So if you look at your life and you think, who have I sheltered? How have I caught a vision for that? That's evidence of the kingdom. So that's not a thing like you go, oh, well, am I going to have 10 things or 12 things or 20 things and feel good about myself? It's who you are. You were made to be who you are. It wasn't like all of these nondescript seeds were sown. You were sown. The kingdom was sown into your heart so that your mustard plant could look different than anybody else's. The way you give shelter to other people is going to look different than anybody else's. There may be similarities, but the reality is that it is your story, because the kingdom is just that big. It is just that complex, and it is just that simple. And it's another reason why I believe heaven will not be boring. Because just think about this growth, this story, these different aspects of shelter that have been sown into the world. Great stories. So, I thought it'd be nice just to, if shelter is the goal of it, and if, back to the verse, every scribe who has become a disciple of the kingdom of heaven is like the head of a household, so I've tried to explain that a little bit more and describe it, who brings out of his treasure things new and old. And I saw a few of you go, oh, I don't know what you're talking about. So I can appreciate that, because it's kind of inscrutable. It's a hard thing to understand. But I'm interested right now in the part about shelter. So why don't you tell me how you have experienced shelter, the idea of shelter, where you've experienced it, where you've extended it. I'm just interested in, you know, just a brief, paint a brief picture of where you've experienced that or where you have shared that.